Talking now with Mary Kay Thatcher of American Farm Bureau. Mary Kay, we're at an interesting week. Finally starting the markup process. We've waited a year or longer for this. What do you see in the chair lady's mark?
Well, first of all, I think we have to applaud them for having a bipartisan bill. This is a pretty partisan time in Washington, so to have a bipartisan anything is great. Pretty much the committee is trying to focus on a three-legged stool, on marketing loans, on a stronger crop insurance program, and then on a shallow loss program. That's very similar to what we've talked about in Farm Bureau, other than we still support a deep loss program instead of shallow.
When it comes to that shallow loss program, that seems to be a real point of contention. Starting to pay farmers at, you know, what, 11, 12% loss. Some people say it's hard to justify.
Well, and that would be our concern, is that, you know, it's awfully high, whether you're talking about a stacks program for cotton at a 90% level or you're talking about an ARC program for everything else at 89, you know, maybe the payments are a little too frequent and they should be a little lower. But then you get them much lower and they're going to interfere with crop insurance, and we certainly don't want to send signals to farmers not to purchase crop insurance. So, yes, there's still controversy. There's obviously still controversy on whether or not you give the choice, as Stabenow and Roberts do, on do I enroll at the farm-level revenue or the county-level revenue. So there'll be discussion about that. I think we're a long ways from the end of the game yet.
Of course, the House Agriculture Committee, hearing from farmers this last week in Dodge City, talked about crop insurance, but price protection was the other phrase that they used a lot.
Right. You know, I think every agriculture group will tell you the same, and that is, as direct payments trend out, crop insurance becomes the most important safety net. Even people like Rice, where it doesn't work very well now, certainly say we need to improve that crop insurance program, we need to move on. But you do have Chairman Lucas talking a lot more about target prices, especially for rice and peanuts in the bill over there. I think it's very unlikely you will see target prices in a bill that comes out of the Senate Ag Committee. So when we ever get to a conference committee, it's going to be a very interesting conference.
Everybody in agriculture seemingly is on the same page with crop insurance, but there are those that are now starting to say, hey, this thing's getting too rich. Too much subsidy. It's almost like the same attack on direct payments, are just starting on a different animal.
Absolutely. You know, some of the people who screamed loudest about direct payments have quit screaming entirely because they think they've won the battle and they've already moved on to crop insurance. So, you know, I think crop insurance is in a very enviable position right now. It's probably the item that most people want to protect. But once we lose direct payments and we've got a very high amount of money going into crop insurance, you look at 2013 or 2014, I don't think you have to wait till the next farm bill at all. And just because of the money, it will be very much at the forefront, the low-hanging fruit that people will be going after.
The biggest bullseye.
Absolutely. You know, we're looking at about $9 billion a year for crop insurance, and it's a very important program, but obviously that kind of money attracts attention.
You know, at this point, the other thing that we're hearing a great deal from Frank Lucas on is this idea of trying to make a program work for all regions. Mm-hmm. And his you know, kind of response to that is you have to have options. You know, how is that the way to go, or is it maybe the more than a simple three-legged stool that the Senate's talking about?
Well, you know, the Senate has come up with something that really isn't options. There's no producer choice there. If you're a producer of cotton, you must participate in stacks if you want any kind of protection. And if you produce anything else, you have to participate in ARC. So there's two different programs. I think that was largely done because of the Brazil cotton case, and we kind of had to do it. But there isn't producer choice, and then many people in the Senate side to tell you they think they've come up with a workable farm bill.
Beyond Title I, your thoughts on the rest of the bill?
I think they've done an exceptional job. The conservation title, to me, is just really well done. We've protected funding for the Working Lands Program. We've taken the Conservation Reserve Program from $32 to $25 million over the next 5 years, but that will be sort of gently trended down, and I suspect land that comes out of there that doesn't go back in was really largely land that probably never should have been in CRP anyway. They've come up with some new buckets of money, and I think this whole idea on how they're going to put all the Chesapeake Bay region, the Great Lakes region, all those earmarked fundings now into one pool and make them competitively granted is a great idea. So very good. You know, the research title, we're actually going to have more mandatory money in research in this bill than we'd have in 2008. That's pretty amazing. We're going to do that new foundation for research where we actually do a public-private partnership and and we're actually going to focus research on the growing demand for food as we move towards $9 billion. There's rural development. I mean, I just think they've done a really good job on every title, and really the only controversial one left seems to be the commodity title.
April 25th is when we're starting on the markup. Can we do a farm bill yet and get it to the White House, to the desk of Barack Obama by, I don't know, when?
Well, I hope we can get it sometime when, but the question is when, and I still think it's going to be very difficult to do this year. Really, it'll be interesting because once you pass out of Senate Ag Committee, there's going to be sort of a Mexican standoff. Do you go to the Senate floor next, or do you do House Ag Committee next? If we do House Ag Committee, we know they're going to have hearings here in Washington until the 18th of May, so probably wouldn't do anything there until after the Memorial Day recess. But, you know, we're told, Senator Reid says, I'm not giving you floor time here until it's very obvious the House is going to move. Speaker Boehner doesn't seem very excited about floor time over there at all, so I think it's a real question about who goes next, the House Ag Committee or the Senate floor.
Would a strong vote out of the Senate Ag Committee help that decision?
It would make a big difference. You know, I personally don't think if we got an 11-10 vote out of the Senate Ag Committee that we'd ever get Mr. Reid to believe it's not controversial and to give it floor time. If we get a 16-5, 17-4 vote, something like that, I think that's a good indication that we can move this bill through the floor.
Beyond Farm Bill. There's life beyond the Farm Bill.
We're going to do the Farm Bill every year from now on out, I think. So there may be life after it, but we're going to live it.
Death tax.
Big issue. You know, come January 1st, it will go back down to the $1 million and the 55%. That death tax, though, as well as capital gains tax, they're one of 100 tax bills that are going to expire on us. So I think people talk about, oh, maybe we could do the Farm Bill in the lame duck session. The fact is, I think we'll spend the whole lame duck session just trying to figure out what we do with these expiring tax provisions. I don't believe we're going to get to repeal of estate taxes, but I also don't believe they're going to leave us at $1 million and 55%. But we are working it very diligently right now as the capital gains tax just to make sure we're keeping it in the forefront of minds, but very unlikely we'll do that before the election.
Lame duck is really where we'll probably see action on taxes.
I think that's very likely.
Is it maybe the most likely scenario, just extension of what we've got now?
I doubt if we can have extension of most of those things, just because, boy, that would be a pricey thing. So I suspect, you know, it's very doubtful we'll extend 100 tax programs. I think there'll be a little more picking and choosing.
State tax, could we keep what we got?
I think there's a chance that we could keep what we have, yes. You know, we'd be for repeal. Most everybody in agriculture would be for repeal, but politically that isn't going to happen. So the most likely scenario is let's keep the 35% and the $5 million exemption.
What else out there that you've really been paying maybe a little bit of extra attention to?
Well, certainly we're looking at all of animal agriculture right now and trying to watch what the Humane Society of the United States is up to. We've been, you know, kind of up to our ears in this LFTB issue on the whole antibiotics in agriculture. So those are all things that I think all of animal agriculture is gathering together and working on as a group, and it's going to take a lot of work. We're certainly behind the eight ball a little bit on this beef issue, but we're going to make some progress.
I feel that some people have criticized Mr. Vilsack for maybe not being quite as aggressive on touting the safety of LFTB. Are you satisfied with what they've done, or are there things they could do that would, you know, move this thing positively?
Oh, I think he's been pretty good on it, and I think for those people, we all have to take our own blame because we all knew about this problem a year ago. And I guess we kind of all hoped it would go away. So maybe, you know, hindsight is 20/20, but we probably all should have been working on it a lot more over the last year.
Lobbyist for American Farm Bureau, Mary Kay Thatcher. In our nation's capital, Ron Hayes on the OklahomaFarmReport.com.